everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This being show number 61, and it's December 9th, 2003. And we're recording right here at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining all design with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the show, the Handyman Show, Don Shaw.
That's right, Mr. Tom. How are you today?
It's fine, thank you. Good to have you with us. Don Patterson, hi.
Rain, go away. That came a major flood at my house.
Oh, man, it's good weather for ducks, I guarantee you. My name's Tom Houston, but here's the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
I sensed a little mutiny today. Mutinous behavior on
where
the...
Where are you, Mark?
On my, my troops. Shaw says we don't have anything to talk about, and Tom's trying to quit and get Mark Christie to run the board.
And when they introduced you, we were clapping with one hand.
My,
what a deal.
Patterson seems to be hanging with me. He's tried to quit two or three times.
I didn't hear that.
However, today, he... seems to be on my side. So we're taking two weeks off for Christmas. Anyway, it's raining in the... it's supposed to get cold. It's supposed to be about mid-30s.
It is supposed to get cold.
Oh, boy.
You guys in Minnesota are going, that's hot. I called these folks from Canada the other day. I got an email from them wanting to be... I can't remember their names. Wanting to be on the Blind Like Me show. And, what's your temperature up there? And she said, well, it's about 15 below. It's not too bad.
Whoa.
Right.
A little heat wave there.
Yeah, man.
What a deal,
how do people stand that sort of weather? I couldn't handle it.
Would be unreal.
I would think so.
I've just never... Can't even imagine it.
I can't either. Us little thin-blooded Texans... We couldn't handle it.
Wouldn't survive.
Speaking of Canada, I talked to a girl last night. I got a new cell phone, and I was getting it all ready and everything, getting it online. And she was in Canada. I asked her. She was in Alberta, Canada.
Really?
And she said, and yes, I'm wearing two pairs of socks.
That's more information than I needed.
I told her it was more than I wanted to know.
But. What, you got another new phone?
Well, yeah, this is four. I've never paid for one yet.
Seemed like you just got a new phone the other day.
No.
Still with AT&T?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Huh.
Nokia this time.
Well, Nokia. You know what?
Joining the club, huh?
The great thing about Nokia's is they've standardized it. Now, the last three phones we've gotten, the chargers have all been interchangeable.
Yeah, and that's a plus, definitely a plus.
All right.
You know, so I've got four or five chargers now for phones. I've got them, used to, every time you bought a phone, you had to buy a new, got a new charger, and you had to buy a car. And,
Really hung you was on the car one, because they gave you the little AC one for the house, but the car cost you about $35.
That's right, when you had to buy the car adapter. Yep.
I got a Nokia and had one when I changed from... over to AT&T from whom, I forgot who I was.
Singular. You were with Singular.
And it works. Everything works, so.
Yeah, that's a deal.
Yeah, but the Nokias seem to have standardized that little, it's just a little simple charger with a little female thing on it, like you find on all kinds of appliances, and so my wife never can find the charger, so I finally just put one on the dresser and hooked up permanently.
Yeah, it's about time that they standardized some of that. And then I heard that Nokia phones, too, is read on one of the lists about this new gizmo coming out that someone's coming out with that will allow your Nokia, and it gave four or five different model numbers of the Nokia phones to be able to talk and read some things in a voice that are on the screen, which would just be excellent.
Oh,
so.
Man.
Really? Nokia's got some phones like
that? Yeah.
My wife's new phone has an interesting little feature. It's a speaker phone. I mean, she can put it on speaker, and you can hear it all over the room. I mean, you wouldn't be any good in an auditorium, but you can just lay it on the table and sit there and talk to people with a phone not even in your hand.
Man, that'd be excellent for if you were on a trip and wanted to call the old newspaper and have your phone there on the table listening, wouldn't it?
Let it read it to you.
Yeah. Well, I think that's in anticipation of the no driving and talking. There's several states right now you cannot use your phone. I don't know, New York maybe is one, and a couple others already have that.
You got to have these hands-free devices.
Emily assures me that she will violate the law if it comes to Texas.
Yeah, she kind of has one grown to the side of her head, doesn't she?
The warden will not give up her cell phone in the car. She's the only person I know that can herd the car down the road eating a Big Mac drinking her Coke and talking on the cell phone at the same time.
All at the same time.
And me hunkered down in the floorboard on the passenger side.
Begging for mercy.
I knew a girl that could drive with, you know, drive and twist one up with one hand. It's been a while ago, though. I didn't marry her. I tried to. But anyway, where are we? Email? We got email? We don't have an email. We have list mail.
List mail today.
List mail. Yes, yes, sir. Rebob. All right. All right, it says, hi, I need to get rid of mold or at least the smell of mold from my air conditioner. I live in an apartment and the maintenance people are bozos, so calling them isn't an option.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Not calling someone from the outside, nor call someone from the outside. The management wouldn't give permission for an outside company to come in and do the job. When the building was built and the air conditioning was installed, they did not enclose the system correctly. Under the inside air handler, instead of building an insulated box for the air to pass through before getting to the coils, they just left the space with exposed studs and the concrete floor. Now, the air has to pass over the area to get to the coils. There is a very strong smell of either mold or algae. I cleaned the tray as best I could with bleach. I had heard that there is a spray that can be used to clean the coils in other areas. If anyone knows there what is. This is called or has any other ideas, I would appreciate hearing about it. Many thanks, Phil.
I don't know what it's... Is this the Phil that's on the handyman list, I guess, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Every time I'm erring down the handyman list and I see Phil, I think, I haven't sent him it, you know. there he is. There'd be an air conditioning... Hello?
Yeah, you would think there would be...
Oh, my radio went off, didn't it?
Something at an air conditioner, refrigeration air conditioner shop that you could buy that you could spray your coil with. But bleach, sound, I mean, man, if bleach doesn't do it... Now,
nothing will.
That's getting...
I don't know, would you want to bleach
stuff.
The coil? I mean, he's talking about cleaning the coil.
Yeah,
well,
for cleaning, getting rid of it.
And the best advice I could give him would be either, like if you have a Lowe's or a Home Depot, you might call them, but also, even though you can't call in an outside person, you could call and talk to one. And I imagine there's a large air conditioning company there probably...
Might tell you some advice.
I have a notion if you did use the wrong thing, you might could do some, you know, I'd want to make sure.
Yeah,
you could
wouldn't want to damage that coil. Yeah. Then you would have a problem.
You know, I would first thing I would do would be clean the drip tray. Clean, not the drip, but the tray under the coil.
Yeah, I think he said he did that.
Yeah.
He cleaned.
Bleach wouldn't hurt that. That's just an aluminum tray.
Oh, sure.
Bleach is not...
Make sure all the water is drained out of it.
You know, if you were listening to KTRH 20 years ago, Bill Zach would tell you to get some kind of fungicide.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know if a mold is like a fungus or you know, if it's there again, I'm surprised that the bleach doesn't do it.
Yeah,
the
bleach, no kidding.
If nothing else, ought to do away with the odor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you can't do away with the mold, maybe you can do away with the odor, and maybe you should leave some bleach in that. In your pan there.
I do. I mean, in the summertime, I pour some bleach in. I've lost my head.
They say you can take the tablets like we use in the pool, the chlorine tablets, and chip them up and drop a little bit of them either in the lines or in the pan.
That'll sure, if nothing else, it'll keep your drain line clean.
We just had our air conditioner. They haven't set the outside units, but they've done all the duct work in our new house and put the units upstairs.
Really?
And, the kid that was installing them is the son of the owner. I mean, so I guess he's the junior partner in the deal. And he said every other month, he said, now I fixed you a walkway over here, and every other month you need to get one of those tablets and put it over here in this pan, and you'll be in good shape. And he showed me all about it.
Really? Well, that's kind of neat.
Hey, all right.
Yeah.
And he fixed you a walkway over
to it. A little walkway to both units, John. He said, you have to do both of them now. You know.
You'll have to buy the tablets for the new septic system anyway, so you might as well just chip one of them up
and
just drop some in the...
Are they the same tablets you use in the swimming pool?
Same ones.
Chlorine, uh-huh.
Yep.
Don't be darned.
Boy.
Same tablets.
Right. Well, we solved that problem. Read something while I go find some batteries.
My radio. Okay, this says, hey, has anyone here been shopping for plywood lately?
No.
Well, the prices are just outrageous and climbing. I was wondering why when I spoke with a friend last night, and he told me that it was because... all of the wood is being shipped over to Iraq for rebuilding. Now, I sure hope that the prices get under control before I have to order all of the wood for the cottage. This could mean loads of dollars more for me. Viviana.
Ah.
In Oroville, California, or Oroville, O-R-O-V-I-L-L-E.
Yeah. So Viviana is working on that cottage house, I think. And
the price of plywood undoubtedly has gone up on
it. Well, you know, I'm wondering.
Yeah.
And, that's odd. You know, we may not be subject to that, noticing those kind of increases, what with, you know, being here in the heart of...
Yeah, I was going to say, you should have noticed.
The piney woods of East Texas and the lumber mills we have here.
Sure, y'all bought lots of plywood here lately for that house.
Well, I mean, the builder did, I'm sure, but I haven't heard it, you know, I haven't heard him say anything about it. I know one thing, I think we probably get, I don't know if we import plywood, we import a lot of lumber, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And export. And, you know, the dollar's cheaper. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I would imagine sending some things over to Iraq. Also, I wonder, you know, I don't guess the fires in California would have anything to...
I don't know.
A lot of the homes that were destroyed, everybody might just be an opportunist, you know, with all the thinking of all the rebuilding that's going to go on. So
yeah,
Lowe's
no kidding.
And Home Depot may be trying to sock it to you.
They may be cashing in on the deal, huh? Nah.
No, they wouldn't do anything like that.
No way. No way they would do that.
No, big business wouldn't do that to you. Yeah.
But, yeah, what it, you know, if you was buying many sheets of plywood and they went up even $1 or $2 a sheet, though, you know, man, that could add up in a hurry.
I guarantee you, like she's talking about, building a cottage, I guarantee you, if you're going to be using plywood, you'd use a heck of a lot of it.
Yeah. Of course, all that money, she's saving
if you don't see my battery.
No.
Oh, lost some batteries.
Yeah, my radio quit, and I've lost my batteries, and the radio's... What time is it? Can we take a break?
What a deal, man.
No headphones.
Uh-huh.
Have headphones.
However, I've got another email here.
All right.
I say an email. This is not an email. But anyway.
A list mail.
Bryce writes this. He says, over the weekend, a nephew added an electrical outlet to my front porch so I could run... the new decorative waterfall that sits dead center between two columns just off the porch.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me tell you something. This extra outlet wasn't cheap. It cost me a little over $70. That included a timer for the pump. What I ended up doing was we tied into an outlet in the garage, drilled a hole through the sheetrock, through the siding leading to the porch. On the siding, we put a little box that kind of snapped into the siding.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this is right up to the ceiling porch. From this little box, we ran half-inch PVC pipe over about 7 feet and added a 90-degree elbow. Now, at this point, we're dead center with the column. At this point, it got a little difficult as there is some decorative woodwork on the column, and we had to heat the PVC pipe in two places to create about 1 1/2 inch offsets. Now, this piece came down the column about 6 feet, and this is where we added the new outlet. All along the PVC pipe, we used half-inch PVC straps to secure the PVC to the porch ceiling and to the column.
Yeah.
Now, today, I'll get my wife out there and paint the PVC pipe, easy for me to say. the same color as the porch with leftover paint, and this way the painted PVC pipe will blend. I bet Mark could have said that, but will blend. I figure I saved over $100 doing it myself.
I would say so.
Those damned electricians would have charged me an arm and a leg to do this job.
Yeah, they would have.
And I bet they would have, too.
Those damned electricians, huh?
And, that's what he said.
Those damned old electricians.
I was reading it the way the fellow wrote it.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Bryce.
I would read it the way it was written.
We appreciate it, Bryce, your comments on that.
Yep.
We really do. Have you got your earphones fit?
I don't have earphones, and it's driving me nuts. I'm going to have to do something.
I know the feeling, but however, we could take a little break, I guess, huh?
I think it's that time, huh?
Do that. You say Blind Handyman back in just a minute.
Okay, Blind Handyman Show. We'll be right back in just a moment.
'tis the season, and that means gift buying time. And we have a great idea for some gifts for people for Christmas. And to tell us about, here's Dale Campbell. Dale.
Hey, Phil and listeners. The gift we're going to talk about, and you all may have heard it, we promoed this originally on Cooking in the Dark. It's called the Voila. It's a talking barcode reader. No cords, no wires, no computers, 100% portable. Heck, it'll fit in your pants pocket or even in your purse to take to the store if you need to label any items. The Voila is about 6 inches long. It weighs less than 3.5 ounces, and it's a portable barcode reader. The unit comes with its own barcodes, which as you scan the barcode, it will remember what has been scanned and allow you to record what you have the item into the memory for what you've scanned. I've got a can in my hand, and I don't know what it is, y'all, but I'm going to run the Voila across it.
All right. Can of chicken broth.
It's a can of chicken broth.
Well, how
now,
about
you
that?
You can shake, rattle, and roll it, and you never would have known this. But the Voila is just that easy. In less than 5 minutes, you can be ready and using it. Labeling anything in your kitchen from spices to cans of food. Heck, in your garage, you can label cans of paint, glues, adhesives. It's perfect for everybody. You could even label your electrical box out in the garage or in, you know, wherever it is to label what outlets are what.
How do we get one?
You can call me at 713-876-6971 or email at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com. And we can give you all the information regarding the Voila. It's a super, super little tool. The price on it, folks, it's not $250 like you may have seen some places. It's not $229. It's not $200. It's not even $180. It's a special price right now of $150. That's right. Call and get in touch with me today so we can get one of these in your stocking for Christmas.
Give us the phone number one more time.
Phone number is 713-876-6971. Or email at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com. You've got to have one of these. It'll make your life so much simpler.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
Well, we're back, and we have two guests today for the price of one, if you can believe that. We have Mary Beth and Tom with us today. How are you folks doing this afternoon?
Not bad. Pretty good.
Good to have you with us today on the show. We had talked for a minute last night, and you guys were telling me about raising snakes and iguanas.
This is not a religious thing, your snake raising, is it?
No.
I mean, because you hear about these people down in South in churches, you know, where they have snakes and they handle them and all those sorts of things. So this is just a hobby of yours or what?
Yeah.
More or less.
We do a lot of education with them in schools and things like that. You know, a lot of these kids, they've never seen a snake up close or a lizard that they can touch that's safe.
I for one have never seen a snake up close.
Had neither.
And don't know that my desire as I get older, my desire to see one lessens. if you know what I mean. How did you get into this snake? I don't want to call it handling because that does have a religious overtone, doesn't it? What kinds do you have, and how did you get into it? And just tell us.
I've been catching snakes and lizards my whole life, pretty much. You know, when I was growing up in on the coast of California, I was always hanging out with all the sighted guys, and we were always running around raising hell, catching all the snakes and lizards and stuff. No, I've always been into it.
Personally, I didn't get into it until I met Tom. So when I first met Tom, he had a couple of turtles. Actually, they were fox turtles, and he was into the reptiles, and he talked for a long time about wanting an iguana. And it wasn't until after being together for several years that he met up with a person who rescued iguanas and got to talking to her about...
What I wanted to find out, really, is whether they're a good pet for a blind guy, because, I mean, not all reptiles are a good pet for us.
Yeah.
I don't know who would know that unless... Was this a blind person that you were talking to?
No, she's not, but she's had extensive experience with iguanas, and she does know... a couple other disabled people. I don't know.
Okay, well, have we answered the question, are they a good pet for blind?
That's the big question.
They are if they are tamed and well socialized. Quite frankly, if they're not a good pet for anybody, because they can deliver a hell of a bite. They can.
And I know this from experience. I've been there.
Both of us do.
Both of you have been there. And you have how many snakes now?
Three. They're called ball pythons. They're called for your European listeners, they would know them as royal pythons. Python regius, the technical name.
And these snakes are basically, other than getting a nasty bite from them, they're harmless.
Oh, these snakes are very docile. These are very handleable. I mean, we let 5-year-olds handle these.
Yeah, that's the kind I'd want.
Yeah, it's gonna.
I guarantee.
Yeah, people are very afraid of snakes, and you know a lot more about this than I do. But most snakes aren't. They're more scared of you than you are of them, and most snakes won't hurt you. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a prejudice and a phobia that we run into. And, you know, we will never, you know, when we're doing these education things and so forth, you know, we will never make anyone, you know, come near these animals if they're afraid of them. You know, that's not the way to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're seriously afraid of something, you know, we won't let it near you, and we won't force you to be near it.
Okay. So you, pardon me, you got into this, and you had to build, or did you build or buy some containers or cages?
I'm cheap, put it that way.
You're what now?
I'm cheap. I don't buy stuff if I can make it. So.
Yeah.
I decided to build on the recommendation of our friend that we got our iguana from, the big male Zilla. That's our big male. We got him from our friend that I'd met. And she recommended that I build a shelf for him, believe it or not. And this thing stands about 6 feet off the floor because the iguanas, you know... I don't know if you know this. Iguanas are a tropical tree lizard. That's what they are. They're a large tropical tree lizard. And they like to be up as high as they can be. You know, that's where they feel safe.
So they like to be up as high as they can be?
Oh, yeah. You know, they, you know, in the wild, I mean, they'd be 100 feet up a tree.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I went over to the hardware store and got the wood and, you know, threw the first shelf together, and I got to tell you, it was pretty primitive.
But you had someone give you a design.
More or less, she just pretty much described it to me. You know what it was like. I mean, there's no real rigid design for it. It was just you basically want a shelf with some upright that you can staple some rope to. You make like a rope ladder. In fact, that was. I got to get me a pneumatic stapler. This electric one I got just isn't quite cutting it. anyway, you know that's so they can, you know, they can climb up and down, you know, from their shell.
Are they free to?
Oh, yes, they're free roaming. They're free roaming.
In your house?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No.
What a deal.
No. Listen, cancel that invitation to dinner. So they could, you could, do you ever go look for them and go, Martha, where's the, you're not going to believe it, you know. Do you ever lose the...
Yeah, how do you keep up with them?
Well, the iguanas, they're pretty big. They're pretty hard to lose. I mean, Zilla is a little under 4 feet long.
Whoa, man.
And if he stands up tall, you know, I mean, this gives you an idea. I mean, if he, you know, if he stands up tall, you know, he can get his head probably almost a foot off the floor.
Wow.
They're a big lizard. I mean, they're they're a big animal.
And do they bother you when you're eating?
Well, that depends on what you're eating.
Depends on what you're eating. If you're eating grapes, yes, he will. He will come up and try to stick his head in the hole.
I'll never forget last summer, Tom had bought some grapes and brought them home and washed them up and was out in the living room sitting in the chair eating those things. And Iguana had been out wandering around and was in our entryway where you can look into the living room and saw Tom with those grapes and tore across the room in no time flat. So...
And so you had to say, no, no, bad iguana.
And can they move, like, pretty quick?
What's that?
Can they move pretty quick?
Well, like, they can move very fast.
Really? So they can run across the room pretty quickly, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And Zilla, so...
Zilla's kind of, you know, he's kind of big and lazy, and he doesn't normally, you know, move too quick.
They could probably easily hit speeds of 3 to 5 miles an hour, maybe.
Wow.
I don't know.
Miles an hour. I know is that
it's very fast.
If it wants to get away from you, you'd have a devil of a time.
The iguanas primarily, are they plant and fruit eaters, not carnivores? Okay. So how do you do? I mean, obviously they can't mix with the snakes, right?
No, the snakes are in cages.
Right. Okay.
The snakes are caged.
So somebody would probably be a meal for somebody.
Well, no, our snakes aren't big enough. But see, we have cats, and the snakes aren't big enough to defend themselves against the cat.
So how did the cat and the iguana?
Oh, they get along great.
That'd be a deal, wouldn't it?
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Oh yeah, they get along great because you know the iguanas are too big, you know, to be a food item. I mean, they're too big for the cat to mess with.
And the iguana is not interested in the cat,
other than as a potential heat source in the winter.
How does the cat feel about that?
Well, they go up on his shelf and lay with him.
Really?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's not uncommon for us to go out in the living room and have at least one cat laying on his shelf. And he'll just be all leaned up against him, like, oh man, this is nice.
That's neat.
I take it then the iguanas basically are not real aggressive, right? Are they?
They can be.
Oh, they can be.
They can be quite dangerous.
Really?
But, you know, again, like I say, you have to get them and you have to socialize them to where they're used to people and, you know, and other animals. You know, it's just like having a dog or anything else. It's just, you know, iguanas are much more wild animals, you know, than...
Well, do they tend to be kind of like the snakes? I didn't get in on the first, but I know I've been around pythons, some, and boas, and at feeding time is when you're most likely, you know, if you have the scent of what they're wanting to eat, you can get bit.
That's right.
Is that the same with the iguana? Is it?
Yeah, that will happen, or iguanas can get aggressive during breeding season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, I think that goes for all of us. That's pretty well blanket, don't you think, getting aggressive during a mating season? But the snakes you have in a cage you bought.
I didn't design the... Well, the one our friend built. He's real good at building, you know, cabinets and things like that. I'm still learning how to do stuff like that.
All right.
I think we got into this earlier before we somebody said y'all were going to be on the program. And so we know, you know, you call an aquarium a place for fish and an aviary for birds. What do you call a container for snakes? What
most people would call it, this is a cage, or some people call them a vivarium.
Okay. How do you, is it with a V? Vivarium?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I had one of those last time I was in the hospital. Well, that's interesting. I don't know that we had. They may have asked you. I had a headphone problem. What is your level of vision, both of you?
I have none.
I've got some vision in the right eye and totally blind in the left.
So you can see some in the right eye, so you can... if one of the iguanas was playing hide and seek, you could find it. Help.
Yeah, I've got enough vision to do that. Go around looking for them and that kind of stuff.
Well, that's interesting. That I don't know that I know any other blind people that have snakes. I'm sure there are, but
we don't either. I've always kind of looked because, you know, I'm like, geez, we can't be the only ones that are into this.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe somebody from this show will
write on the list or something
who's interested.
That's interested in either doing it or interested in talking to you about getting into it. Or maybe someone who has a what do you folks work or you stay home with the animals or what?
Well, kind of both. I do some work. I do work for the State Department of Rehab out here. I do tech work for them. Set up computers and teach people how to use them. That
for blind people?
Yeah, mainly for blind people.
What a deal.
And then I also do, I do sales. Well, we both do sales and technical support for a BSC Games, which is a games company. I think I was telling Don about that yesterday.
Yeah, well, go ahead and talk about that a minute if you like.
Talk about their games and things.
Well, They're the accessible sound-based games that we do, and I mainly just help people with problems that they're having, or I help them register the games. And
tech support, more or less.
Well, we have no axe to grind or nothing to sell. Where do you get these sound-accessible games? Do you mind?
Several companies have them. There's ESC Games. There is GMA Games. There's a couple other ones too. Those are
all of them have websites, though.
And all of them have websites.
So if you typed in Google,
typed in BSC Games one word, I guarantee that our site will come up. Or in the website, it's www.bscgames.com.
Are you saying BSC?
BSC Bravo Sierra Charlie.
Okay.
Do you, or this may be your competition, I'm not sure if it's y'all or your competition, has a race car type game that's done by
some? BSC Softworks, I am eagerly awaiting that to come out.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. And that's another place that we spend our money is accessible games. And then, of course, we have to spend money on the...
And what games have come out in the past from them?
Well, the most recent one is BSC Games. Did just finish an upgrade to Troopenum.
We did a major upgrade.
A major upgrade.
I've heard of that.
And so Troopenum 2.0 is just out. And a lot of people seem to be having a good time with that.
Yeah, that should be an interesting game.
I'm going to have to hush
this. Y'all aren't the ones that did the Western game, though, right?
No, that's the Gulch. That was done by Bavisoft.
That game is supposed to have been good. Haven't played it, but I just heard some people talking about it.
Yeah,
it's a good game. I enjoy it even.
And there's quite a few blind folks now that I know are into some of these sound-type games. And I say with a good set of headphones... And a good computer that you can have a lot of fun with them.
Oh, yeah. You don't even really need much of a computer. I mean, you can play them on a 350. You can play them on a Pentium 2, no problem.
Well, that's even lower than the computer I've got at home. What a deal.
Well, then you can play them, no problem.
Need to check some of those out.
Oh, yeah. And, you can get demos of all of them and check them out. And, except Chris Adult, that one you have to buy.
How about the pipe game, the game that uses the pipes?
Yeah, we have that one.
We have that one.
That sounds like an interesting one. And again, I don't know much about any of these.
It's kind of a fun little game. It's kind of a light little game.
I've got the hint.
I know the gaming thing is just a whole different issue, and I know there's lists on blind folks that play games and different chat rooms.
There's all kinds of stuff out there. Well, it's really growing. Which I think is great. I mean, after all, why not? I mean, sight of people, they've had computer games for years.
Oh, sure. Sure they have.
Well, do these games work? I'm pretty good partial myself, so I can play some you know, visual. Some of the regular one if the action doesn't get too fast. But like when you're going, you know, like a totally blind person, are these working in conjunction with a screen reader, or is it all its self-contained sound?
It depends on the game. Ours, most of ours do not require a screen reader at all. They're totally what we call self-voicing, which means this. You know the game does all the voices.
And so, like when, like if you bought a game, obviously there's going to be directions on how to play it. Is this incorporated in the game?
Yeah, it comes with directions on how to play it, usually in a text file that you would read.
Okay.
You know, before you start.
Right.
And then a lot of them even do have, you know, in some inbuilt help.
Yeah, for the built-in help topics.
Yeah.
But it is Troubadour the latest game that's out, and because the race car game isn't out yet, or will be, or what?
Troubadour's the latest one out by from BFC Games.
I just bought one called Tank Commander from TMA Games.
Tank Commander. Sounds interesting.
It's a tough one. That would be a rough one for a beginner, because you basically have to drive your tank over all kinds of terrain, and then you have to fight these guys. So.
Well, let me ask Mary Beth. I think you have some vision, right?
I have some vision. Yeah.
Okay. Because like being made, these games are obviously made for blind people. But are there good enough graphics that like a partial would enjoy?
No, there's no
graphics
at all. No.
I see.
The only accessible game that has any kind of graphics at all is a game called Shades of Doom.
Right.
And in that one,
that's just it's real primitive.
It's real graphic. Primitive. It's not anything big deal. All it does is show. Like a circle for indicating who you are, and a square
it shows
for
where passages where the, are.
Yeah.
So really, the games are really made to play with no vision.
Strictly sound.
Okay, that's interesting.
It is.
There, you know, we've talked about trying to do graphics in them, but you know the problem is, and you got to get a graphics designer, and it's just too expensive. It ends up costing too much.
Well, just a comment here, but you know, you talked about a tank game, which sounds interesting. But you know, it seems like a natural thing for a blind person, since they use sonar and things like that. They're essentially traveling blind anyway. Would be some type of submarine game. It'd be natural.
There is a submarine game from GMA Games. It's called Lone Wolf. They advertise it as a World War II. A submarine simulator.
Sounds familiar.
It's quite good. It's very difficult again because you have to have very good spatial concept.
Don Patterson, you talked about a game.
Well, I had the best game I ever had was when it was a DOS-based game called Silent Service.
Yeah.
Silent Service 2, and it finally made it to CD-ROM, and I think it would run with Windows. I mean, it didn't have to be in DOS, but then it's just disappeared. I mean, I was looking actually on eBay, and I found somebody that has a copy that wants to sell it.
Really?
But
that's about the only way you're going to get that old stuff.
Love that game. The graphics were unbelievable, and the sounds. You know, it would have needed quite a bit of modification. You know, for a totally blind person to play the game, but I could see how a submarine would be. I think you said the Lone Wolf. There's one called the Sea Wolf. I think that's a regular for vision, you know, with graphics and everything.
Yeah,
But that's interesting because that would make an interesting game for a blind person.
It would.
Because
they're lots of fun. Speaking of the iguana playing hide and seek, I'm not sure where Zilla is right now.
Sounded like hiding over the trash can in there.
Really? That's something, the way those things are moving around like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially when the sun is out, they...
Oh, he's up on his shelf.
Oh, okay.
They loved it. They loved it.
28
now,
John.
The sun, huh?
Oh, they love the sun. I mean, in fact, one thing, we can't leave... We can't leave our patio door open in the summer because my stupid screen door doesn't have a lock on it. Yet another handyman project for me to do.
That's right.
And that dratted lizard, he knows how to open the screen door.
Really?
they are quite intelligent. And he will open the screen door and go out on the patio.
Amazing.
So what's the life expectancy of an iguana as a pet?
Good question.
15, 20, 25 years. It depends on, you know, how well they've been taken care of, you know, if they have
a,
you know.
My goodness.
Whoa, no kidding.
Man, I have this dog that I'm going to trade you for one of your...
They live a relatively long time.
All right, so we've heard that you have Zilla. What's the other one's name?
The other one is Xena.
Xena?
Xena, like Xena Warrior Princess.
Okay.
And the name suits her to a T. She's very aggressive about her food bowl, and if she doesn't want to be messed with, she lets you know.
I bet you.
Your tail or...
So, Phil, are you up?
Do the sign-off. They can't hear
me. Well, much younger one.
Okay, is it Scott? Well, okay, guys, we're getting some music in the background. We're about out of time, but we've really enjoyed y'all being on the program.
Well, thank you for having us. I know we kind of rambled on a bunch of different stuff.
Well, you know, that's what it's all about, rambling. And we covered
I hope the people enjoy it.
Yeah, about three areas, and I think y'all have an interesting hobby, and the games were interesting, and maybe in a month or so we'll have you back again.
You bet.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you, guys.
And the Blind Handyman will return following these messages.
Is the season, and that means gift buying time, and we have a great idea for some gifts for people for Christmas. And to tell us about, here's Dale Campbell. Dale?
Hey, Phil and listeners, the gift we're going to talk about, and you all may have heard it, we promoted this originally on Cooking in the Dark, it's called the Voila. It's a talking barcode reader. No cords, no wires, no computers, 100% portable. Heck, it'll fit in your pants pocket or even in your purse to take to the store if you need to label any items. The Voila is about 6 inches long. It weighs less than 3.5 ounces, and it's a portable barcode reader. The unit comes with its own barcode, which as you scan the barcode, it will remember what has been scanned and allow you to record what you have the item into memory for what you've scanned. I've got a can in my hand, and I don't know what it is, y'all, but I'm going to run the Voila across it.
All right.
Can of chicken broth.
Can of chicken broth.
It's a can of chicken broth.
Well, how about that?
Now, you can shake, rattle, and roll it, and you never would have known this. But the Voila is just that easy. In less than 5 minutes, you can be ready and using it. Labeling anything in your kitchen from spices to cans of food. Heck, in your garage, you can label cans of paint, glues, adhesives. It's perfect for everybody. You could even label your electrical box out in the garage or in, you know, wherever it is to label what outlets are what.
How do we get one?
You can call me at 713-876-6971 or email at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com, and we can give you all the information regarding the Voila. It's a super, super little tool. The price on it, folks, it's not $250 like you may have seen some places. It's not $229. It's not $200. It's not even $180. It's a special price right now of $150. That's right. Call and get in touch with me today so we can get one of these in your stocking for Christmas.
Give us the phone number one more time.
Phone number is 713-876-6971. Or email at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com. You've got to have one of these. It'll make your life so much simpler.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
All right, well... no from hell. Between Frankie Brown, my headphones have been out most of the show, so
they have.
They have, man. It's just I'm gonna go into Radio Shack, buy me a new radio. I guess I don't know what else to do. Just I've been trying to stumble along with this one that's 10 years old forever.
Yeah,
so
I think it's time to
spring out buy a new radio. But I scared Frankie; she didn't bother us anymore. But here's the thing: Don Shaw, our friend Don, has gone to Walmart and bought himself an atomic clock.
Had to do it.
That he's going to tell us about. Atomic Don.
Yeah. The atomic clock and thermometer built in one unit. And what the deal is on this, and for all of you partially sighted folks out there, it's a real fine thing because it's got a big digital readout. The two items are together. And what's kind of neat about this thing is the atomic clock sets itself with WWV, the time service in Colorado.
That's the one owned by the government. I mean, that's the National Bureau of Standards time service. It's going to be on the money, or as close as the government can get things.
To a fraction of the second, they say, don't they?
Really?
Anyway, this thing has a receiver built into it, and you can't hear the time in a voice. Unfortunately, it doesn't talk, but it will go in and update itself with the WWV, I don't know, several times a day to make sure it's down to the fraction of a second on the time. And, of course, your thermometer is real neat because it's got a wireless probe. That's a box, I would say, about the size. Really, it's bigger than you think it would be in these days and times. The probe is probably about the size of a Walkman-type radio.
Now, the probe and the thing that sets the clock are two different things?
Are two different things.
So you have two different units outside.
No, you have the clock and the readout. The thermometer readout is in one unit that's inside, either can sit on a desk or hang on a wall.
Uh-huh.
It'd be your choice. You either fold out the stand or fold it in and hang it on the wall. Good little handyman project there. And the probe, the thing that's about the size of a Walkman, you put two AAA batteries in it.
And put it outside.
Put it outside somewhere, preferably on the north side in the winter. And it's not waterproof. I mean, you couldn't just submerge it into the swimming pool, but yet if it rained on it or something, it's I guess water resistant would be the way to say
that.
You'd
want to stick it under the eave of the house, wouldn't you?
Preferably, you'd probably want to have it under an eave or something where it wouldn't get the direct rain, but it could.
Is this unit just the probe, or does it have the receiver?
It would have to have.
Well, yeah, the part outside the probe and the little box thing is all built in one unit.
The receiver is.
But, I mean, that would have to be the thing that receives the signal.
Yeah, because we noticed with Connolly's XM radio, if you were in the wrong inside, if you weren't facing the right...
It couldn't set the clock.
That's right. It couldn't set the clock.
So it's using that unit outside somewhere or another, connects to the satellite several times a day and sets your clock.
And then sends the signal to the inside part.
Yeah, sends
I'm sure.
The inside.
That's what it must do.
Well, you guys ought to know this. I wonder what frequencies these things are. Are they going to be interfered with, like the cordless phones and citizen band?
The manual on that said that it wouldn't. And I'm not sure right now what frequency actually that it uses. But it said that it shouldn't. Your garage door opener, wireless phone / cell phone, whatever else you have around the house shouldn't interfere with it. So, and we haven't found anything so far that did.
But this is for, you couldn't take the face off this clock and read it because it's digital, isn't it?
It's digital.
So
yeah.
It's for partial sighted people.
Yeah, but it's got gigantic numbers. Really, I'm talking big, you know, inch and a half high numbers on it, which are good.
But it does not talk.
It does not talk. This one does not talk, but I bet you someone does make a model that does.
Well, I found one in the Sharper Image catalog that is a clock thermometer. I don't know if it's an atomic clock, but I bet it is. It was $150 bucks, though, and it does talk. It will tell you the time the temperature inside and the temperature outside, and it is wireless also.
Really?
Yeah, it was in the Sharper Image catalog. I'm sure sharperimage.com. I don't know how friendly their website would be, but it's up there. Like I said, it's expensive.
Yeah,
but it does talk, and it's not meant for blind people. I mean, it's
and yours, Shaw, will not do inside temperature, right?
Yes, it does inside also.
So where that probe would be in the
no the inside yeah the probe for the inside temperature I guess is on the inside receiver because it displays the top readout on the inside receiver screen. The top readout is the atomic clock. The second one down is the inside temp. And the bottom is the outside.
So
it displays all, which is nice, displaying all that at the same time.
And this was bought from where?
Yeah, that's a Walmart special, but I'm sure at Target or the competition, Kmart, probably they all sell a similar type item anyway. But it's kind of neat. What I like about it is, over the old type that used the wired probe that you put outside was that, then you were kind of particular, more or less, on where you would put the probe. But on this one, man, having up to like a 100-foot range, you know, your possibilities of where you might put the outside transmitter probe part would just kind of be unlimited.
Well, yeah, and with the wired probe, you got to figure out a way to get it through the window and, you know, close the window on it and take a chance
over the wire.
Cutting the wire in two. So the best thing, if you have one of those, and I guess Radio Shack still sell those, and they're in all the blind catalogs, running out the top of the window between the where the window comes down, and don't run it at the bottom, run it at the top of the window. That's the way I did mine, and just clipped it up on the edge of the eave where it hangs down, where the sun can't shine on it.
I had one of those for years and worked fine. Same kind of deal.
Well, you probably still have it. Maybe it's for sale.
Well, the battery actually cratered out on it, and that's kind of why I bought this new one, because just didn't want to buy another battery for it. It was old.
Yeah.
And you know me, I love that new technology, man. Just got to try out.
Well, you know where this is all headed is they keep making these receivers smaller, you know, along with that, and GPS, and like the XM radios.
Yeah. There's,
And someday, I mean, not too long, far away, they're going to have a functional, really on-the-go computer. I mean, they talk about Wi-Fi, but I think you have to been within reach of some other...
Yeah.
But I think, out where I'm going, you know, no cable and no DSL, it's either back to dial-up computing or, you know, pretty soon they're going to have just where you turn on your computer and you're on the Internet.
I don't know why we don't have satellite computer already. I mean, I don't know why we don't have that already.
We have it. I investigated it, and you have to buy a separate dish, and it's not big as your your big, humongous old dish, but it's a bigger, maybe twice as big or one and a half times as big as your little dish.
And it's a separate dish.
Separate dish. You have to have two wires. Like to get satellite TV, you have to run, if you're going to have the Internet, you have to run the two extra wires.
Uh-huh.
And you do everything kind of like backwards, as opposed, like you can't use a router. You use something else to go from, you can network, but it's... And then the cost right now is about $1,000 going in. I may wind up with that. The service per month is not bad, $69 a month.
Yeah.
But the going-in price gets set up
is
$1,000, you know. And then if they change new technology, there you're stuck.
Yeah, you're stuck out with
that. That happened to me when we built this house in '91. I put in an old C-band system. Well, no one told me they were going out. And of course, 3 years later, everybody was using these little bitty dishes. So it finally got to where I was paying for nothing. I mean, there wasn't anything on much C-band anymore, and so I had to buy a new system. But they didn't tell me, and of course they don't. You never know, technology is moving.
Yeah, it's an ever-changing thing.
Well, we can't negotiate. Several people are moving in out where we are and really seem to be dependent on high-speed Internet. And I'm like, we got one guy that's some kind of a mover and a shaker, and he claims he's going to negotiate with Cox. But if we can't, I may be a test guinea pig for this. But just the initial outlay of cash, for an unknown technology.
I know someone actually that's got in it, are using the system, and if you're willing, to do the initial outlay of cash to get the system rigged up, said it's great. Said it's just, man,
it'd have to be the fastest.
Dependable.
Well,
really fast.
The, the guy down here at Big Boy Toys, you know, that we had talked about, has his computers and he has them networked, and you can go try them out. And I didn't. I was in his little shop, but I didn't try his out. But he said he can't. He didn't rave so much about the speed. He did say it was dependable, but it's like satellite TV. The weather would be your main interference. Rain.
Yeah, the weather might could get you.
You know, you might, where like cable or DSL just goes on forever. But actually, he said he couldn't tell any difference in cable or his satellite. I mean, he didn't rave about speed, but he said it was real adequate. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I don't think it'll be long before out there where you are.
Just they'll the laptop. Have a,
real quick, tell us about the car that parks itself.
Oh, well, I just saw, I'm a car show junkie, and I was just watching on CNBC a lot. They do car reviews. Like today, they showed the new Hummer 3H3T truck.
Yeah.
The Humvee, you've all heard about. Well, now they've introduced a truck. And anyway, Honda, they're messing with a little car in Japan right now, and they did it at a show that will park itself with using cameras mounted on the rear and then GPS. And the car will actually, you get out of the car, or you can sit in the car for that matter, and it'll just park parallel park.
It'll go find a parking place and park.
Well, I don't know if it finds the parking place. Maybe you have to point it at the parking place, but it'll do all
you probably have to tell it where the parking place is. Yeah. All right. Well, how long will it be? How long will it be before you'll be able to get in your car and punch in South Main in Houston? It'll go.
Right.
All right. We got to go. We're out of time. Thanks, Don Pat, Don Shaw.
Okay, Phil.
Tom Houston. Yes, Mark. Sir, yes, I mean, sir. Tom.
I'm sorry.
And Mark, wherever you are.
They resemble each other.
Now, Mark will be listening to this show, and we're going to hurt his feelings. Thanks, Mark, for what you've done for us. We appreciate your help. You too, Tom.
Thank you, Phil.
I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.